Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. The following interview is designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be. Your host, Derek Champagne, is the founder and CEO of The Artist Evolution, a full-service agency building successful brands, marketing tools, and campaigns, and also the author of the best-selling book, Don't Buy a Duck. And now, let's begin today's Leadership Series interview.
Hey, I'm excited we have Jacob Faniff with us today. He is a founder of Inside Out Studios. Jacob, thanks for being with us.
Man, I've been a fan of the show for a long time. I appreciate you having me on.
Hey, you helped us set up the studio too, so thank you for that. Appreciate you, man.
Hey, no problem, man.
Hey, you tell us about your business, and I think you just celebrated 10 years, right?
Yeah, with Inside Out Studio. It's in Northwest Arkansas here, and we do music lessons and artist development, recording and production, and we started out real small, you know, just me teaching lessons, and 10 years later, you know, a couple kids later, and we're still going, and we got, you know, 200 students and 13 teachers, and it's going well, despite the circumstances.
Yeah, over 200 students. I want to talk about COVID. Over 200 students, 13 teachers. I know early on, I remember when you started the company, you know, there's always people that encourage you, and then there's other people that go, yeah, that's not going to work, right? We all have our critics and our fans. We probably should listen to both a little bit, but did you know it would grow to over 200 students this big? I mean, you keep winning best of each year, like best of studio for teaching and all these other awards. What was your mindset when you started it, and how has it surprised you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when I started out, I'm a timid guy anyway. I'm a shy person, kind of an introvert naturally. And so I thought, oh boy, I'm going to make a brick and mortar place teaching music. I was 25 at the time. So really looking back, it's just a kid, just young enough to be dumb and old enough to someone take you seriously and let you rent out a place, if you will. And man, I thought about competing with these stores that I grew up going to and knowing these, you know, teachers that were older than me, you know, being a teenager at all the guitar shops around here. And it was fearful, but I mean, I just did it, and you know, time, and when you stick with something long enough, you know, things are bound to happen.
It is a persistence like that too, because if you think about it, but there's more than just that, because if you think about it, think of all the teachers. We grew up in the same area. I've had music teachers. I've been in music most of my life. And there's the teachers, they're not setting up their own schools. They're working for somebody else, or they're doing other jobs and they teach out of passion. It's hard to make a living as a music teacher, especially in Northwest Arkansas. What else do you attribute to maybe being yes, you were smart enough and dumb enough to start it. I get that. That's me and most things I do. But what would you attribute maybe other secrets to success?
I got into the idea of quote business when I was in my early 20s. I have a psychology degree which clearly isn't very business oriented. And so just the idea of owning my own business, you know, Robert Kiyosaki and, you know, his second book Cashflow Quadrant, I really got into, which is, you know, employee, self-employed, business owner or investor. And you want to get on a certain side of the quadrant. And all those ideas were just like, I didn't learn about those growing up, you know, and what was it? Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, old classic. I definitely give a lot of credit to those early books, just kind of changing my mindset. Like, you know, I can, if I have a skill set and I stick to it and I deliver, you know, I can do my own thing. And I just, like I said, I was young enough and dumb enough to give it a shot, and I just stuck with it. And man, it was a long, very difficult 5 years. You know, I put my wife through hell, you know.
Yeah.
And
And this is your first business too, right? You almost have to prove your track record for your spouse or for those around you for them to go, yeah, I get it. You know, this one may not work, but you'll land on your feet on the next one. Or we trust that the process. But when you're doing your first one and you're expecting people to come along for the ride, I consult sometimes younger entrepreneurs, and you're going, I say, you have to prove to your significant other first, You have to have a plan. Yeah. You have to show them why and get ready for them to, you've got to get to bring them on the journey with you. They almost need more consulting than you do.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. And you bring your in-laws along with you too. And you bring, you know, your friends along and I mean, they don't get it, you know, and that was a tough sell for a long time. And like you said, you know, time will kind of tell and you kind of have to either prove it or figure something else out or, you know, and so I'll be honest. I brought them through it too, you right. know, which wasn't easy for a long time.
No, it always looks good from the outside. You know, yeah. And, you know, but again, people will start to come along for the ride when you've made it a certain point, but you have to be ready mm-hmm. to stick it out. And it's not even just the 2-year window anymore. It's longer than that.
Yeah.
I know the 10-year mark, I've jumped around a lot of things. This is the only company that I've had, the Artist Evolution, that's been around more than 10 years. And I remember being excited getting the 10-year mark. And then I started doing podcasts and stuff and like, oh, here's how you make it through the first 10 years. And now I'm going to be a thought leader. And then suddenly the economy changed and some things happened in our industry. And I had to start over and go, wait, do I even want to do this? I have to keep building. I have to keep investing. I need to be passionate about what I'm doing. It's not just going to something I can set aside, the type of business I have. You can't just step out of yours and go, all right, that's just its own thing now. You're involved. How do you stay passionate and have purpose in what you're doing?
Every once in a while, you just have to remind yourself like, okay, this is what I want to do. This is what I wanted to do. I mean, you just have to make it happen sometimes, you know, you just have to force yourself into that passion and, you know, you have good days, you have rough days, you know, there's no like making it over some non-existent, happily ever after, you know, thing. It's a constant struggle, no matter what you're doing, you know, I mean, people can look at me and say, oh man, he gets to play music all day and et cetera. And while that's true, it's still a job, right. You know, it's still like how I put the beans on the table, as they say. And, you know, you just have to remind yourself as much as you can, like, hey, enjoy this as much as you can, you know, don't get lazy, you know, enjoy the process.
And I don't think you ever can get lazy with it. I think let's talk about like the quarantine thing here in just a minute. But if there was ever a reminder that we can't just rest on what we did in the past, this is it right now. Cause it's having everybody either be displaced or lose jobs or, you know, of no fault of their own, businesses are going under. Look, that's the gloom and doom part. A lot are going to thrive and new industries are going to emerge and new opportunities. We know that it always happens in history if you look back. But what have you seen? Let's just transition to that now. What have you seen as far as, you know, you teach students, you have hundreds of students, you're a studio, you have recording artists coming in, you're doing projects, all kinds of projects. What's happened for you? Like, how did this quarantine disrupt the way you did business as usual? And then what are you doing going forward?
Well, that's a great question. You know, if you think about it, a lot of my students or clients are kind of that middle to middle upper class type family. So fortunately, a lot of them have been able to keep their job, you know, their teachers or their J.B. Hunt or Tyson, you know. And so I've been able to hold on to, you know, 80-90% of my students through all this. We've transitioned to like FaceTime lessons and like, you know, Zoom lessons. And honestly, it was pretty scary to think about offering that as a legitimate thing. Right. But really, like, kids are looking for something to do. Parents are thankful they don't have to leave the house. And, you know, they get off the phone with their music teacher and it's kind of like they got to do something constructive and have that interaction with an adult that they're not, you know, they're not having outside of their parents right now. Right. And honestly, it's gone better than I would have thought. You know, it's kind of, for a lot of people, as this has happened, it's kind of shown you a new way of potentially even offering, you know, services.
Forward. Do you see that happening? I was just thinking, I'm like, you know what? The challenge we had with my daughter getting piano lessons was trying to get across town on a busy school day. And then, you know, having to wait in the car till it was done and then it was just, or we forgot the books or this seems like a way to get more business going forward.
Yeah, it does. It does. And especially seeing again that honestly, people have kind of enjoyed it, you know, I mean, they miss that one-on-one actually face to face, but I see it as a viable thing. Like I might be where I see in a month, I might see them twice and then maybe twice they stay home. You know, like you said, they don't have to fight the traffic. They don't have to remember the books. They had that long day at school. Maybe they can just go home and like eat dinner and hop on the Zoom with me. And we jam right there from their bedroom, you know? Yeah, I see it for sure. Kind of a change happening even after all this is over. Yeah, so too. Right. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And fortunately we live in this technology age where like, you know, we can even do this, you know, and it's just a different world. It's a different world than it was 10 years ago.
Yeah. You know, I hate the loss and the hurting that's happening, but from an entrepreneurial standpoint, you know, our business took a big hit, but I'm excited because I see the new opportunity. And as a studier of marketing and systems and shifts that happen in cultures and demand, I like it even when it's against me sometimes, just because it's interesting to see how things keep moving. Things keep progressing. Anyway, technology was already disrupting things at lightning speed. Now we're embracing that technology at lightning speed in order to keep businesses relevant.
Yeah, we have to, right? Yeah. You know, the entrepreneurs have to be creative, or like you said, they're going to, you know, you can't just shut your doors. You know, we can't depend on that Trump check forever, you know?
Hey, just a few minutes left. Tell me about, I want to hear an actual stories. Tell me some happy stories of either positive life change or, you know, kids taking lessons and thriving. Like those are my favorite things. Music and seeing kids thrive are probably two of the biggest things that tug at my heartstrings.
So yeah.
In some ways I'm jealous, but I'm happy for you that you're doing what you're doing, but give us a couple stories that are inspiring.
I think the coolest thing at this point, 10 years later, as we were talking about, is seeing the kids grow up where they were 7, 8. They were just little kids when they came to you. And here we are, they're graduating high school, they're in college, and you see the fruit of all that labor and all the hard work that they put into. And, you know, they're aspiring to be in jazz school in college, you know, or play for their church. Like one of my students is playing at Cross Church now. And that was like my, like when I was a kid, I thought that was kind of the big time to play at a big, you know, a big church.
Right.
And he's going there and, people are impressed by him. He's an awesome kid. I'm speaking of one kid in particular right now. And that's the dream for me is, you know, to see my students excel like that. Yeah. I mean, students are doing all kinds of things all over the community and have been for years, you know, at this point. It makes me so happy to think about that.
Yeah, I love that too. Tell me, we're going to show some kind of footage too in the video part of this interview about some of the things you're doing, but tell me like the live bands and the performances you do and things like that, that where kids get to music lessons, the traditional music lesson was pretty boring. Things you're doing that are exciting where it's just different than a traditional music lesson.
Yeah, we try to do more communal type stuff. Like we've done like 4th of July community events where we, you know, we have students go there and perform and we work on it. Just a couple of weeks ago, we normally do little performances here at the studio where it's just a real intimate type thing where there's maybe just 12 performers. And there's, you know, grandma and grandpa and stuff in my studio here. But we recently, since we weren't able to do that, we did we called it the Spring 2020 Quarantine Tour, where people sent us videos of them playing at their homes.
Nice.
And there ended up being like 50 kids that sent in videos. So we did this Zoom party where we premiered it at 7 o'clock, you know, last Friday night. Awesome. And we all got on Zoom and watched it together. And, you know, it brings people together. You know, it's not about competition. You know what I mean? Music to me isn't that, you know, what are those competition music shows? Yeah. To me, music isn't competition. It's expression. It's art, you know, it's an expression of the soul and it needs to be treated like that, you know? So
I've seen people forming bands together and things like that too, of your students.
Oh yeah. A lot of times. Yeah. We've had a few bands start up and that's really exciting to get in a room with amps and real drums and a PA and loud microphones. And you know, it's, you can get into rock, like, you know, maybe punk rock or something. It's easy to kind of get into that, power chords and stuff. Yeah. And it's, and you know that feeling where you get in that room and everything's loud and it's just like, this is awesome. This is power, you know? And so, sports, yeah, we've had a number of that.
Yeah, I love that. And like sports, you think of team sports, but you know, we both have played in bands for many years and like that was our lives for a while.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything more collaborative and teaching teamwork than showing where you fit inside a song with other musicians.
Yes.
Team sports does that as well, but man, to play your part, even if it's small for me, bass or backup, doesn't have to, you don't have to be the star. You don't have to be the Michael Jordan.
You're a piece of the pie.
Oh man. And to hear it, hear it back and to record it and to create it is, there's almost nothing like it. And I think it's one of the best teachers of team building and adding value at any level and doing your best, even if it's a small part.
Yeah. And so this summer we'll do some groups like that. I've got a number of 11th graders that I'm going to do. And then a number of like 12th graders. Again, now that I've been doing this a number of years, it's like, I've got a pretty good number of little groups that I'm like, oh, I want to see these kids together. And I want to see these kids together. Awesome. And some of them have come every summer to these kind of like rock camps, if you will. And that's going to be a lot of fun. I really enjoy that in the summers.
That's exciting. We'll be doing that. Hey, thanks for sharing that. Just any final things you want to share with us either? And I want you to plug your website too, so we can go and look at it, and we'll put that in the show notes too. But any final thoughts to share with us around encouragement or leadership right now?
I don't know. Just to talk about music, I guess, you know, music is something that you can do as a kid. And it helps you relax and be calm. And it's something that the greatest part, as you know, is you can take it into adulthood and it still is the most positive thing that you can do. So, you know, if you've thought about playing an instrument, you don't have to call me or anything, but just pick up your guitar, man. I mean, most people have one in the closet somewhere. Get it out and have fun. And it's never too late, you know.
But
as far as an entrepreneurship goes, you just have to be creative. Look for those different ways of thinking. You have to be open-minded. And
thanks, Jacob. Tell us your website.
InsideOutNWA.com. So InsideOutNWA, like Northwest Arkansas.com, or Facebook.com/InsideOutNWA.
That's awesome. And the confidence and the development that you see out beyond just their musical ability, I'm sure is evident. You could probably tell many stories about that. Man, Jacob, thanks again for being with us. I look forward to seeing the next great things you guys are doing.
Thanks so much for having me on.
You've been listening to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. This interview was designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be.